far too often people are settling for life and just, you know, taking whatever life gives them. In today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast, Francis and I are going to be talking about specifically the top five reasons why people are willing to settle. Francis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I can't wait to hear this. Just so everyone knows, I've not heard these. I specifically asked Chad not to share them with me because I wanted to be able to capture my honest feedback about what these things are. But it's a topic that's near and dear. You know, we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. Those of you that don't spend any time with Chad and I, like, we will get on calls for business stuff for our academy, and we have a very specific agenda, but we end up just talking about, you know, principles or politics or religion or whatever, because we just get along so well. So it's always fun for us to talk about stuff. And so we go all over the place, but this is fun to kind of capture that. We're going to capture this free kind of thought here, right here on this podcast.
Right. And it's something, as you said, Francis, it is one of those things that can be exciting and frustrating at the same time, right? Because we get excited going, okay, I'm not going to settle. But then it frustrating because sometimes too many of us settle when we could be living at a much higher level, embracing a lot more. Like, you know, the story that many of you have heard where the individual saved and saved and saved to go on a cruise, right? And then he goes on the cruise and he packs all of his own food, packs his own, you know, beans and sandwiches and everything, not realizing that there was this buffet that was free with the price of the cruise, right? And I share that only because so many of us are living in life that way, where life has so much to offer. There's so much we can accomplish, yet we end up settling. We end up, you know, opening up that can of beans in our room when in reality, there's a buffet out there waiting for us. So Francis, let's jump in number five, okay, of the reasons why people settle is this dependence on external validation. So people settle because their expectations are anchored in external approval, whether that be a paycheck, a title, a relationship, something that they're not willing to step out of that.
I totally agree. I mean, I totally agree. We live in a society that, you know, it's selfies and it is how we look and, you know, the vacation and taking pictures of our food and all that other stuff. And that external validation has become an extremely important part of society. And unfortunately, for us and who we are and where we measure, you know, a couple of years ago, Rochelle and I had an opportunity to go to Europe and we went to Rome, and the Trevi Fountain is like this really famous fountain. It's beautiful. And they tell you, you got to go first thing in the morning early or go late after dark, because there are so many people, and it's true. It's wall to wall people. And we went off to the side, and I see this woman, she's in her mid-20s, and she's really pretty, and she's dressed very nice, and someone's taking her picture, and I assume it's her boyfriend or whatever, and she's like posing, and I'm thinking, oh, that's so nice. And then she stops, and then she starts yelling at the person taking the picture, and she's like, how is that going to look on social media? You have the total wrong angle. You don't have the right light. She's just going on and on. I'm like, do you see where you're standing? Do you see the beauty that you're standing in front of? But she doesn't care about that. She cares about the external validation. I know that's not a goal. We're not talking about the same thing, but it's part of the symptoms, I think, of this idea that this external validation, that we, unless everyone thinks that it's a good idea, or unless everyone thinks that it's something we should be doing, we're not really going to do it. Because if I say to you, Chad, I really want to do this, what do you think? And you say, well, I don't know if it's going to work out for you. Well, yeah, you're probably right. We just too often, like, we're just not willing to step out and say, you know what, I appreciate your opinion, but so I totally agree.
And Francis, it goes back to that analogy we've talked about before with the crabs in the bucket, right? Where the crabs pull those other crabs back into the bucket, and there's comfort in there. And so it's really also a reminder to who are you associating with? Who are you surrounding yourself with? Because if you're surrounding yourself with people that are actually pushing you out of the bucket, as opposed to those who are pulling you down. Because most people, when we seek for external validation, most people don't want us to go and fulfill our dreams. They don't want us to go be successful because it's a reminder to them that they aren't fulfilling their dreams, right? So mediocrity loves mediocrity. They love, you know, wallowing in that mediocrity because then they don't have to feel guilty about stepping out of that comfort zone. They feel much more comfortable just settling.
Yeah. And people like to couch it in the, oh, I'm just watching out for you. I'm looking out for your best interest. It's not what it is. We all need to have a friend like Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I watched on TV not too long ago, and the Ben Affleck, they're both kind of from the bad part of town. And Ben Affleck is saying to Matt Damon's like, well, I don't want to leave you guys. Cause he's really smart, right? He's Good Will Hunting. He had offers to go to all these places and do all these things. And he said, I don't want to leave you. And Ben Affleck looked over to him and said, listen, if I come around your house in 2 years and you're still here, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. Like, you have so much more you could be doing. Don't stay here. We're fine. Don't stay here and not capitalize on your potential because you don't want to leave us. Cause that's cop out.
Right.
It really is a cop out.
Right. I love that. Okay. So number four, then misaligned expectations versus reality. And what I mean by that, Francis, many settle because they never stop to reevaluate what they truly want. Their goals and values and their expectations stay the same. They aren't ever striving to elevate themselves at all.
Yeah, I agree with that. That one's a little deeper. I mean, that's one that you have to kind of think about. Because what I like to do with these is I think of my own personal situation and like times that I've accomplished my goals or times I haven't accomplished my goals. And so I kind of try these on for size, you know, and how does that feel? And certainly number five, that one off the top right away, that one totally tracks with me. This one, I agree with it, but I'm trying to envision an example in my own life of where that might fit in. But I do think the idea of expectation, right, is that having a goal that you don't expect you can actually accomplish, or having a goal that's here while your expectations are here. Like, I'm okay driving 40 miles an hour, but I want to get there faster. Those are misaligned. Like, they're not aligned. Like, my expectations of what I'm looking for, they aren't aligned. I'm not saying you should lower your goal to your expectation. I'm saying you should raise your expectation to your goal. I want to lose a certain amount of weight, or I want to attain a certain job, or make a certain amount of money, right? We talk about that in Academy all the time.
Right.
With our community is like, raise your goals and set your goals. You know, one of the principles that you teach all the time is the five whys, right? Well, I want to make more money. And you would say to me, Francis, why do you want to make more money? Well, I want to make more money because I want to be able to take care of my family better. Okay, well, why do you want to be able to take care? Like, why do you want to be able to take care of them? Because I love them and I want, so you don't want to make more money because you want more money. You want to take more money because you want your family
right.
to be happy and not struggle. And that's the goal, right? That's the goal. As opposed to, I want to make 180,000 or 200,000 or a million, whatever. But the expectation has to raise with that. And that you have to have the goal that meets that.
Well, and we had a good friend years ago that was like, Chad, I have this great business. I want to build this business. I'm really excited. And I said, okay, I'm going to follow up with you on that. And I followed a week later and I said, how's everything going? And he said, I just haven't had time this week. And I said, okay, did you shower this week? He goes, what? And I go, did you shower this week? And he goes, well, yeah, I showered every day. And I said, okay, as soon as growing your business becomes as important to you as showering, then you'll start seeing success, right? And so you really have to, if you truly want something, I believe what you truly, truly want is what you'll achieve, right? But we settle. In fact, years ago, Francis, when I was head of sales for a software company, I interviewed an individual who his lifelong goal was to make 60 grand a year. It was an incredible story. He'd been living in a car. He was totally, you know, determined to make 60 grand a year. And I looked at him and I said, I am so excited. I was moved by his story, you know, and I said, I'm so excited to offer you this position because the base salary is 60 grand a year with an opportunity to make 120 grand. And he goes, oh, and he was so excited. He signed the offer letter, took the job and quit 2 weeks later. And I was like, whoa, what happened here? Because what he was truly comfortable with was 60 grand a year. And I know those listening are going, wait, Chad, this makes no sense at all. But the reality is you make what you have to make. The things that you truly expect and the things that you truly want to accomplish, that's what you end up doing. The key is you need to align that so that you're not settling. Right? We all have a temperature that we like in our house. What do you say your temperature at your house?
Me, 72.
72. Okay, Cassie's 68, right? And Cassie's just comfortable at 68 degrees. Everyone listening has a temperature that they're comfortable with, right? Yeah. And then if all of a sudden in this situation with this sales rep, all of a sudden I was turning his temperature up, you know? And all of a sudden I realized that he wasn't comfortable with that. Yeah. And so that misalignment is number three. Okay. Number four. Number three, then, Francis, is this. Okay. Why people settle? Because they're comfortable and they appreciate the familiarity over excellence or taking a step up.
Boy, that one fits right on my hat, like around my head, like a nice large cap because I got a big head. But yes, it's that one. I can try that one on real fast because I could, if we had enough time, I could list off a dozen goals that I didn't hit that I settled for. Well, you know, it's like the old, you're a fan of Jim Gaffigan, I know, but Jim Gaffigan's a comedian and he's talking about how much he loves his bed. And he's like, I love my bed. I hate getting up in the morning. So when the alarm goes off, I'm like, I showered last night.
Right.
I can go to the gym tomorrow. And he snooze. And then he wakes up again. He's like, oh, I showered at the gym yesterday. Snooze. And then he's like, oh, I can find a new job. Snooze. Like, so it's this whole routine he does on settling, right? Is it because he loved where he was at? He was comfortable and he didn't want to step out of that comfort zone. Of course, it was a comedian. It was funny. But for us in real life, it is, you know, it's a complacency, right? And so when we settle because we're comfortable, that's a problem. I mentioned to you once, not too long ago, that I made a commitment that I was never going to turn down an opportunity to do something new because I was scared about the change or scared that it wouldn't work out, right? So if someone approached me with a new job or an opportunity, doesn't mean I'm going to take it. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it, right? It may not be a good idea, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to refuse to do it because I'm scared, because I'm comfortable where I'm at. If that's the only reason I'm going to turn down the opportunity or not even explore it, that's not good enough for me anymore. I'm just not doing it. So being comfortable is not a good enough reason. And it's interesting that this has come up right now because I feel like I'm really good about that in certain aspects, like with opportunities, business or jobs or career type stuff, but not so much with personal stuff. And so I appreciate this conversation because it's giving me pause, a reason to kind of rethink some of my other goals that aren't like that,
right?
Relationship goals or with my kids or with my faith or whatever it is, like, am I not setting those goals or reaching high enough because I'm comfortable? That's a really interesting thing. I'll have to think through that. And so I appreciate this discussion.
Well, yeah, but you have to realize that it does take discipline to leave the comfort zone. It takes discipline to say, I know this is uncomfortable, but I'm going to do it anyway. And right. I promise you, those that are listening, if you can be determined to not stay comfortable, you will be destined for incredible things. Life.
And we're not talking about change for change's sake, no. Right? I mean, you're talking about setting your goals because this whole conversation is about why we don't reach those goals,
right.
Why we settle.
Right.
And so this is not suggesting I'm comfortable. I guess I should set a goal and not become. That's not it at all. Our goal here with you as an audience is not to convince you to not be comfortable in life. That's not it at all. It's just as you start to think about the goals and the growth you want to have, don't factor comfort into that. Like, don't avoid that because I'm comfortable. Well, I don't like, it's comfortable for me to sleep in on Saturdays. So I guess I'm not going to make a goal to go and hike at 2 times a month or whatever, because in Arizona you have to hike in the morning because it's hot. Right. And so, that's not a good enough reason not to do it. If you don't want to do it because you're afraid of hurting yourself or you've got bad feet, that's not what we're talking
right.
about. But if the only reason I'm not going to shoot for the stars or I'm not going to look for growth is because I'm comfortable where I'm at, man, you better be careful, because change is coming. The only thing constant in life is change.
Right.
And so if you're not doing things because of comfort, you're going to have a rude awakening. It's coming. It's coming around the corner.
And I know it's number three, Francis, but it really is one of, if not number one, I mean, that willing to stay comfortable. But here's number two, and that is low self-esteem or limiting beliefs. Your low self-esteem, you don't believe you deserve better. You don't believe that you can accomplish great things. And Francis, in the academy that people engage with, this is one of the things that really resonates well with them, because that self-talk that happens so often, where we say things like, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I can't do that, I can't accomplish that. All those limiting beliefs that we say to ourselves all the time. Now, what's ironic about this is this low self-esteem and limiting beliefs also contribute to number three, that staying comfortable, right? We don't want to be uncomfortable, so therefore we'll continue in this low self-esteem limiting belief state so that we don't have to worry about taking risks.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about that is I've talked with, you know, in my line of work and my profession for years, I've talked with some of the most confident people, some of the people who are the most successful. Like, they're really confident and they carry themselves very well, but they struggle with this idea. And you wouldn't think that they would struggle with self-confidence or low self-esteem, but, you know, it's an interesting idea that it's doesn't manifest itself the same way for everybody, right? And so if I don't feel like it's something I can accomplish, I'll talk myself out of it before I even try. And I'll be thinking, oh, you know, I think I could do more. I think I could earn more. I think I could manage people, but you know, I've never really done it before.
Right.
So I don't know. And I did have this one person tell me they didn't like me. And so I'm not going to try. And so and that's not for the comfort level, although that's what it will, it's almost like it's a building block, right? It's like this degrees of like, well, I don't want to do this because I'm not sure I can. And I'm really comfortable where I'm at now. We're surviving all right. And so, you know, and everyone like says that I'm in the place I should be, going back to number five. And so it's like, they're all kind of, I would say it's really hard. You'd be hard pressed to find any of these that are independent of the others.
Well, and I think it comes back to, Francis, what we've talked so often about on this podcast is that importance of self-awareness. Like, you really have to notice when you're pulling back so that you can be comfortable. You really have to notice when you're not, or when you're so worried about what others think that you aren't willing to stretch yourself, for fear of what that might be perceived by others.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We talked with Tim a few weeks ago on the podcast, and he talked about chasing after versus it. Like, what was the actual phrase that we use? It was chasing, and like we're seeking it, or it actually just happens.
Right.
Like, it comes
right
to
demanding,
us,
like it demanding,
demanding or attracting.
Right.
And this idea, it's interesting because I'll say to myself, well, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be this arrogant guy. I don't want to be the person that says, well, I know, and you better listen to me. But it's interesting because it shines naturally which kind of person you are. And so you say, well, I don't want to be you, that guy. And you might say to me, well, I never thought that about
right.
you. Like I never thought that at all.
Right.
And so that's something that I'm projecting onto what other people might think. And so that is number two, is really, really important. And it's, of the four that we've talked about so far, and I can't wait to hear number one, of the four we've talked about, to me, that's the hardest one. Mm. Like, I can make a commitment to say, comfort is not going to be my barrier. Okay. That's easy to say. And I think it's actually, once you get used to it, it's not that hard to do. But this one, the self-esteem, like, that's baked into us. It's how we were treated as kids. It's how our siblings treated us. It's how our spouse or significant other treats us. It's how our boss treats us. We internalize that and we make it mean something that's real, when in actuality, it is not real at all. It's not. We've created this thing. And so to pivot and to reshape, that's really hard.
It absolutely is. And then we've talked about learned helplessness before on this podcast, but it falls right in line here, because I've always failed when I've done that. Or you know how many people have said to me, I mean, I was speaking to a young lady the other day who spoke really, her English was quite phenomenal, actually. She was from Spain. And she goes, "Sorry, my English is not very good." And I was like, "What are you talking about? Your English is phenomenal, right?" But we say those things to ourselves, like, "I can't learn another language. I'm not very good at this," right? And all of those things contribute to not only the low self-esteem, but that learned helplessness, where I can't go out and do these great things. I've never been able to do great things.
Yeah, but I think it also, you ever read any of Malcolm Gladwell?
Oh, absolutely.
He's fantastic. Right. Did you ever read David Goliath?
No.
David Goliath is really, really good. It's this is phenomenal, right? But one of the principles he talks about, and I don't want to misquote him, so I'm going to speak in generalities. They did a study of the who's who of the who's who list. For those of you who don't know, who's who used to be a big thing in the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, if you got yourself in the who's who, that
right.
Was, or something.
Right.
And like 70% of them were dyslexic, came from single parent homes, were abused as kids. They took this idea of you can't, or you shouldn't be able to because you're disadvantaged, and they turned that into overcoming and totally exceeded and excelled in those things, right? And so I think that principle of like, listen, okay, fine. Like, oh, I don't think I can do that. Well, what can you do to make it possible to be able
right.
to do that? Like, what can I do? Yeah, okay, maybe you don't have the skill for that now. We're not talking about like glossing over. We're not talking about like pretending to be something we're not. Acknowledge things you don't do well, but then don't stop there.
Exactly.
Say, okay, I haven't had a ton of experience leading people. I don't know a lot about leadership principles. What can I do to learn about those things and to get to the point where I can do that? Because that whole idea of, well, you can't lead people because you don't have experience leading people. Well, how can I get experience leading people if you don't give me a chance to lead people?
Right.
Well, you can lead from your seat. You can learn it. You can do all these other things, but it's not limiting yourself based on the you can't do it. It's acknowledging you can't do it and saying, okay, what can I do to be the person that can do
right.
it? And that's where we don't settle anymore. We're now saying, okay, that's not an excuse.
Right.
That's no excuse. There's very few things in this world. I will never be 10 feet tall. I will never be able to dunk a basketball. I will never be like, it's not possible, right? We're not talking about those things. There are very few things in life that are absolute you cannot do ever, right? My son, my oldest son is the most amazing person on the planet. Like, he's my favorite oldest son. I always have to say that, be right. Because I have three sons and they're all my favorite sons. My favorite oldest, my favorite middle, my favorite youngest, right? But he is not athletic at all. Like, he played the piano. He is very gifted at that stuff. But when he was little and he played t-ball, he didn't, like, he just, coordination wasn't his thing, but he wanted to be able to play. So he studied and he learned and he got better. Does it mean he's ever going to be a Hall of Fame baseball player that he could play at a higher level? No, but he didn't let the fact that he wasn't coordinated limit him to being better at baseball. The idea is, when we say, well, because I'll never be able to be a pro, there's no reason for me to even try to get better. That's just ridiculous.
Right.
Ridiculous. Like, that's set your goals based on those limitations. What do you want to accomplish? And then shoot, skyrocket, right? What's number one? I can't wait to hear.
Okay, number one, I think just makes sense. And everyone listening is going to be like, yes, that makes sense. Number one is this: fear. The fear, fear is a debilitating emotion that can cause us to wallow in mediocrity because we're afraid. And as we have talked about here before, fear is nothing more than false expectations appearing real. Like, we are worried and are fearful of things. 90% of them never come to pass, right? But that fear, Francis, that fear holds people back. And I love the phrase that TK would say all the time. What would you do today if you had no fear? You know, and everyone listening would be like, well, I'd do this. I'd call this person. I'd do whatever. Then go and do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love that because this idea that fear and excitement or fear and happiness, they can't coexist, right? The anecdote to fear is courage and being courageous, right? And so if you find yourself, listen, fear is natural, right? It's like if you are afraid you might get laid off, or you're afraid that your spouse, like there's been some trouble in the relationship, and so you're afraid that they might leave, or that the relationship might be ending, or that you're like, I'm not feeling very well. I'm afraid I might be sick, and like those things. That's fine. Like you, like those things have their place, and they're actually, if you're religious at all, it's given to us by God to help regulate, right? And so I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I jump off this cliff, so I'm not going to jump off the cliff. That's normal.
Right.
That's natural. Right.
Right?
That is a rational fear. I would say irrational fear is what would be more of a problem. And I watched a show once, and I wish I could remember what the name of the show was, although it probably isn't. The show itself probably is more foo-foo. But it was this person on the show. They gave themselves 5 seconds. 5 seconds to wallow and be like, what am I going to do? Oh, my gosh. This is like, how am I going to fix this? And then they counted 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then they got into fix mode. Then they got into like, okay, what can I do about it? How can I fix it? How can I move forward? What can I do about it? But the fear is paralyzing, right? And so when we live in the fear for too long, we don't take the action necessary to get out of the fear.
Right.
And so it's very, I don't want anyone to walk away, well, I can never be afraid of anything. No, that's not true. Human nature is you're afraid, right?
Right.
It's fearful, but it's just not a very useful emotion. And so, okay, take that fear. I got it. I'm afraid. Now what? Like the old rule of improv and what or whatever. Like they say that in improv, like when someone asks you, say, and, you know, and, like, and then, or whatever the rule is. But it's like, okay, I'm afraid. Okay, and what? What are you going to do next, right? And if you can self-analyze that, great. But I think the best thing to do for that, I think the best anecdote to that is, you said it, the people you surround yourself. Like there have been more than one occasion where I have reached out to you because we have different ideas about, there are things, we aren't aligned on everything. We have disagreements about things, but there are things I'll say, hey, Chad, check me on this. Am I clear? Am I missing something? Is there another way for me to look at this? Is there another way to examine it? And invariably I walk away feeling much better about, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That's okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I was being very, very much in an echo chamber, in this silo of, you know, of light, of groupthink. So step out, find a community, someone that will be honest and say, listen, actually, you know, it's rational, but what can we do about it? Let's work together to figure out how to get out of that, to move so we can be productive and move forward. Because I would say fear is also a driver of creating goals.
Oh, no, like, question.
I'm afraid I might get laid off.
Right.
Okay, well then what do you want to do about it?
Right.
Like, well, I'm going to set a goal to learn X. My brother, who's really good with AI, you know, Thomas, he's really good with AI. And I messaged him. I said, hey, I have a friend who's concerned about their job situation. And I said, you have any advice for him? He said, I know that sounds dumb. Go and take your resume, put it into ChatGPT, private, of course, keep it private. Resume, put it in ChatGPT and say, hey, based on my resume, what AI skills should I sharpen up on? What should I learn about AI and how to use AI in today's workplace based on my skill set? And so I, for kicks and grins, I put mine in. I put my resume in and it kicked out some interesting stuff. And it said, do you want me to put together a 12-week syllabus on what you can do to reach the goals you said you wanted based on learning AI in the functions you're in. And it did, and it spit out this beautiful syllabus, right? And so I'm learning more about AI and the role that I play so I can be more productive and more valuable and more marketable. Like, you don't have to be afraid.
Right.
Like, take the bull by the horn. But I think that fear can be the driver, and oftentimes is the driver to setting those goals.
No question. And so as we face these things, and that's what I love about the Academy, and I see so many people engage in the Academy, facing this fear head on, overcoming it, and then really being able to accomplish their goals without settling. I love it. Francis, always great to be with you. Do not settle. Join the Academy and watch what happens. Have a tremendous day, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye now.